You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout, your host. I'm here in the studio today with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Lynn Perkins. She's also from the same agency. We're going to be talking about Medicaid eligibility and programs, how you might qualify, and what you would need to do to make that happen. So, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here with me. On a senior moment, what we're always trying to do is get information out there to you as a listener about if you are a senior yourself or you are a family member assisting a senior in your family or a friend, about programs that exist that can help you with the issues surrounding aging. And in general, what I've found doing this show for years is that there's a lot of help out there that people just simply don't know about, and I think that's going to be the case today. So we have Lynn Perkins with us. She is a Medicaid eligibility specialist with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. And I wanted to start by asking you, Lynn, to explain what is Medicaid and how is it the same or different from something that sounds kind of the same, which is Medicare?
What is the biggest difference is that Medicare falls under the federal government and Medicaid is state government. So it's funded by some federal dollars, but mostly our state taxes is part of it. So that's the difference between the two of them. A lot of confusion. Medicare is federal. State is the Medicaid side.
Okay, so then... But Medicaid really has a bit of a different purpose than Medicare, or does it? Or does it serve the same purpose or a similar purpose?
Medicaid actually helps supplement for the Medicare in at income-based levels. It's one of those things that, depending on what program you're looking at, you know, as to how much assistance there is, it's always based income and low income. Is how to look at it. And we are trying to move away from using the word Medicaid, but using state assistance instead. Okay. And a little bit more politically correct.
Well, so another way of looking at it, too, is that Medicare, when you're 65, everybody's on Medicare. Mm-hmm. When you're 65 and you need some assistance to be able to get your medical help or even some food stamps, or if you need some help because of low income or because of long-term care needs because it's too high for you to afford, then Medicaid steps in and can help out. So everybody's on Medicare at 65. Medicaid is for special purposes, special needs.
Okay, and we're going to be talking about that during the show. Now, the two guests we have today on the show are both from Oregon. Ordinarily, we have Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging to represent the Washington side of things. He's just not here today. He wasn't able to be here for this show. But we are going to be giving you contact information for his agency, the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, at the end of the show. But in general, something to remember that federal benefits are the same no matter what state you're in. Medicaid, the rules for Medicaid, which is a state-based program, might be a little bit different in Washington, but that's something you could sort out with the folks at the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Let's talk a little bit about what kinds of Medicaid benefits are available to people here in Oregon, and also something about the SNAP program, but let's start out with Medicaid. So what can you get, and what are the income requirements?
Well, that does depend. What we see a lot of is the Medicare Savings Program, the MSPs. We have three different levels in that. If your income is under approximately $1,000, they've just upped that just a bit, then the state of Oregon can help pay your Medicare premium, your deductible, and the 20% that's not covered by Medicare. So technically, they become your supplement. And one thing I need to let everybody know is that we look at gross income, not what you get put in your bank accounts. So we factor all of those pieces in when we're looking at the different levels of care. That particular program is called the QMB, and that's Qualified Medicare Benefits Program. And you just get a chance to give up that supplement cost. If you're above that income of approximately 1,000 up to, I do believe it's $1,333, and your total gross income is in between that, the state of Oregon can actually pay your Medicare premium, whether it be the $104.90 or $105.80 or the $121.50. Depending on when you got your Medicare instated. If anything above that income, unfortunately, you do not qualify for those Medicare savings programs. One of the other benefits of the state of Oregon being able to pay your Medicare premium is that you fall under the Social Security Low Income Subsidy, which is also known as LIS. So the prescription drug programs are at a very low cost or no cost. And prescription costs really go down a lot if you do qualify for those programs. I do believe it's $295 for a generic and $740 for a name brand. So that can be a big help in savings. Usually the state of Oregon did have income limits for those two, or not, I'm sorry, excuse me, they still have the income limits, but the resource limits. They were in effect up until January this year. They did away with them, quite the shock to all of us. So we don't look at the resources at this time. But that doesn't mean that they won't reinstate those resources later, please. So you can definitely be above what you, 7,000 was the limit before. You can definitely be above that now and still qualify for those Medicare savings programs.
Wow, that's interesting. So what about the SNAP program? What is that?
The SNAP program is food stamps.
Oh, okay.
And it stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program.
Okay. And that is a program that's available to people regardless of age, but this is just applicable
Correct.
Here also.
Yes. Okay. Yep. For our seniors and disabled, they get kind of a special rules that we get to use certain deductions that those that are not receiving disability or aged don't get to play by. And that is medical deductions. That's a big one because if they have a lot of medical out-of-pocket expenses, we deduct that from what their income is, and it can increase the amount of food stamps they receive. The other piece of this is the income on that one depends on how many in the household. And for one person, I think it's $1,815 is the gross income. And we look at three pieces. We look at income. We look at their housing expenses, which includes mortgages, second mortgages, rent, utilities. We factor all that in. Property taxes and house insurance if you're a homeowner. And we bring that all together in a program, and it tells us what's allowed.
So what about long-term care options? I know people, we've occasionally talked about this. Are there any long-term care options in this with Medicaid?
Yes, there are. And there's a lot of misconceptions on that long-term care. I hear a lot, well, I didn't think I would have qualified because I own my home. Or my husband's income is really high and my income is really high. What a lot of people aren't aware of is that when we have a husband and wife, a spouse, that is, one has a larger income than the other, we can actually divert income from the client that's receiving the care with the higher income to that spouse. So that way she can maintain or he can maintain their living as they're accustomed to. Right now, that income, we factor in what the spouse's income is, then we bring them up to about $2,400 a month that we can divert. As far as the long-term care resources, that gets a little bit trickier. We have a $2,000 limit for the client themselves, but again, we can divert resources to the spouse.
Well, so then it sounds like really what people should do is something that we recommend every month on the show, is that if you have an issue, kind of complex like this, you should really just sit down with someone at the agency in your state and let them help you sort through it.
Right, because
it could be different for each person.
Oh, definitely. Life insurance counts, whether it be a whole life or a term life, we have to distinguish that. Retirement plans, IRAs, trust funds, annuities, vehicles, if you have more than one or two, motorhomes, boats are a big one. All of that counts in as resources. But that's why we sit down and we'll do it one step at a time and see what we can do to help.
Okay, so suppose I'm a senior and I'm thinking about this and I don't really know what to do, and I go to see you. What's the process like for applying for benefits, and what kind of documents would I have to bring with me to kind of prove who I am or whatever?
The first thing that we do is we have you contact our information assistance, ADRC. And Michelle, you'll have to tell me what that one is.
Sure. Aging and Disability Resource Connection Center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would have called it a center. but they get the basic information from you as far as income, you know, resources and whatnot. Then they assign it to one of our intakes at the office. And when we have our conversation, our interview over the phone, we go through the pieces that you would be required to bring in. Each client is different. Insurance policies, things like that. Bank statements, we request the last 3 months usually. Insurance premiums, medical bills, picture ID. We're able to now verify U.S. citizenship through the Social Security Administration. So there's a couple of things that we can do that you aren't required. The most important, though, is pensions. We don't ever get to use a bank statement for what your income is. We have to have something showing your gross and any deductions. And that's probably one of the toughest pieces for people to get together, is because a lot of pensions, that just shows up in your account. And even though there's no changes, we can't accept that.
You need documentation.
Documentation,
of that.
Yes.
Well, what about citizenship? Do people need to be American citizens in order to be part qualify mm-hmm. for this program?
Or okay. Legal aliens. Okay. You know. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit more about the SNAP program and how people can use those benefits. Can we talk a little more about that?
Sure. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. With the cost of food in today's market is really tough to make ends meet. The minimum amount that you can receive on the food stamps program is $16. Yes, I know.
Is that per month?
It is a per month. Okay. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it gets you that extra gallon of milk or that loaf of bread. It also can roll forward and you can build them up. So you can save them up for 4 or 5 months and go buy meat and stick it in the freezer.
Oh, and so the benefits are cumulative.
Yes.
Then. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And you can also, I like to say it is a door opener, because you can apply for other programs. Energy assistance is one of them. There is actually what is classified as the Obama phone, the free cell phone with that has 250 minutes, that if you're on food stamps or SNAP, you can get one. Medical assistance programs through the hospitals, OHSU, Providence, a few others that if you're receiving, assistance, they may be able to help adjust off some of your bill. And so it's $16 doesn't sound like a lot, but it can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And the maximum a one-person household can receive is $194.
Wow. Well, I also, I don't know if you know about this, but I have a friend who works for social services here, and she was mentioning that the case that the food stamp program is transitioning to like a credit card?
It is.
That you use. So it sort of takes a little bit of the stigma of that away mm-hmm. from people, because it just looks like any other credit card.
Exactly.
You pay for your groceries and...
It's like a debit card, and it's called the Oregon Trail card.
Ah, okay.
You need to have a 4-digit PIN number, just like your debit card. And I am in this business, and I can't tell you somebody's using the card in line in front of me.
Yeah. It's good for people's dignity.
Yes, it is. And it's one of the first steps is coming in and seeing us. And I understand that for seniors, that's an exceptionally hard step. But... we're very kind. We're very, we won't pick on you, I promise.
Well, you know, when I think about these things, I think that really, you know, the money that people are spending is probably money that they've paid into the system. You know, the all the money that the government has is the people's money. Mm-hmm. And so now if you need a little bit of that back that you've been paying all these years in taxes, that's really not a handout.
Right. There's no way that people could have known what it was going to cost to retire now.
Oh, I know.
You know, 40 or 50 years ago. They just couldn't have. And so now as costs have risen so much, for them to access these programs, we want them to. If they qualify for them, we want them to access to them because it'll help their health and they will be in better shape throughout their older years by doing that. So there's not a stigma around it at all. We want them to access programs like this.
I just want to take a minute to remind everybody that you're listening to A Senior Moment on Coast Community Radio. This is the show about senior issues. I'm Joanne Rideout, your host. I'm here in the studio today with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Lynn Perkins, also from that agency. And we're talking about Medicaid eligibility and programs related to that and how you might find this to your benefit if you are a senior or if you are a family member helping to care for a senior. It's kind of worth your while to investigate this and find out whether there are benefits for you. One of the things that I've found from doing the show, as I said earlier, is that doing the show for years now, is that there is a lot of help out there that people don't know exists until they ask. And so in the Oregon side of things, we have, because we're on either side of the Columbia River, that's why we sort of refer to it as either side of the river. There's the Oregon side of the Columbia, we have, and that's what we're talking about today, and then there's the Washington side of the Columbia. And so we're talking about federal Medicare programs in some cases for people who are over 65, and then Medicaid, which is state-based. And so you would need to talk to Northwest Senior Disabilities in Oregon or the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington State. So let's talk a little bit about the spousal impoverishment law. It's in my notes here. And what is that, and how does that figure into Medicaid?
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions out there that the state of Oregon, if we help pay for somebody's long-term care, that when that client passes away, that the state of Oregon is going to come in and kick out the spouse out of their home and take their home. That is not true. That is nothing further than the truth. What the state does is it puts what's called a prior claim on the home. And this is for those that have a home. Then when that spouse passes away, the state of Oregon will take a look at the state and see if they can recoup any of their income. Or the monies
that they spent. The investment that they made.
Thank you very much. That's a good word. I like that investment. And that way, the state, you know, gets back if they can. If the spouse sells that home, depending on what she receives for that home, she may be able to go, or he may be able to go and purchase another home. So there's no black and white within the state Medicaid assistance. And also under that law is that diversion of income to that spouse to help maintain their living expenses. That also falls under that impoverishment on the spousal.
The reason it came about originally, as I understand it, is that if we were to cause both people to become impoverished to get onto Medicaid before we help them with long-term care, then as soon as the other one, the healthier spouse, got sick, they go directly onto Medicaid. So this way we can keep them financially intact, and maybe they'll never have to go into Medicaid by doing that. So that's why it came along. So both spouses didn't have to be impoverished to get the help the person needs. If you think about long-term care costing anywhere from $4,000 a month to $10,000, $12,000 a month if you're in a nursing home now, it can add up very quickly and impoverish a couple very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so Medicaid can kick in and help out before both are totally down to that $2,000 impoverishment limit.
And so we've talked about that spending down on other shows. And so that really means that the person would need to spend their resources down to the point where what they have left is $2,000 before they would
be able single,
to,
yeah.
If they're single,
yeah.
Okay.
Plus a burial plan.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
And that's a special kind of burial plan.
irrevocable burial plan.
Yeah.
And so there's you know, ways to divert money, and everybody's case is different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we look at. There is one piece that a lot of people need to know about, and that is we have what's called a 5-year look back on properties. So if you were to go and put your daughter give your daughter the house or your son the house or sell it to him for $1 or $10, that would be what we call a disqualifying transfer if you needed our assistance within 5 years of that. And there's a formula that we use, and real market value versus what, and so that is something that gets looked at. So would not recommend doing that unless you're exceptionally healthy and plan getting past that 5 year.
Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of where, you know, we have a thing called options counseling in our office, and that's one mm-hmm. of the roles that I play. And so when people are getting to where they're spending down their resources, calling our office and asking to talk to an options counselor could be helpful, because we can start talking to them about the cost of long-term care and looking at how much money they have available to them, helping them make good choices about their long-term care costs, and also talk to them about what and how to spend down toward Medicaid. So if it's obviously going to go down to Medicaid, then we'd also be talking to them, about the rules that Lynn was talking about, that you can't just give away your resources, that these are the conditions under spending your money to get down to that resource. You can spend it basically on anything for yourself, and your own needs, but you can't give it away directly to somebody. We would talk to them about that, what that might look like and what they might need. So for instance, if they're going to be looking at moving to an assisted living, none of their furniture may fit into that room. You know, they may need to buy some smaller furniture or a smaller TV set. They may need to buy a new vehicle. And those are things that they can think about during that spend down time. So we'd help guide them through that, through options counseling.
So I think, you know, when I hear that idea of options counseling, it just, you know, what it says to me is that people need to start planning ahead, you know, and go to see your agency before they're in a crisis situation, because and that's probably not what a lot of people do, but
yeah,
still.
Denial's a really powerful thing, but when it comes, when we have to quit denying, sometimes we hope it's not too late. We really need to get ahead of that and try to get out of that denial cycle as quickly as possible, so we can start making some good decisions about what our future might look like and prepare ourselves for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that people may think about spending down is, you know, making their house accessible so that they can stay home as long as possible. Most people you talk to say they want to stay home as long as feasible for them to do so. So does that mean they have too many steps to get up to their home? Can they get in and out of their bathroom? What about their shower? If they're going to do some remodeling on their bathroom anyway, why not put in a walk-in shower? What would it look like to try to put a ramp in? Those are all things that we can start talking about well ahead of them needing the services. Glad to always talk to anybody just considering those ideas.
So how do veterans' benefits play into this? What if somebody is qualified for veterans benefits, or how do people even find that out?
Well, there's two different levels of veterans benefits that we look at. We have our disabilities piece of it, you know, the percentage, and then there's what's called aid in attendance. Now, aid in attendance is something that needs to be applied for through the veterans.
The VA, through the VA.
Yeah, veterans, okay. Yeah, VA. It is for people who are requiring long-term care, whether it be in-home or in a facility, and it's a certain amount of money that gets paid to that client for that care. The state would takes that into accountability, and then possibly the client would have to still pay in to have some of his care. But we look at all of that income. And that's one piece I did not touch on, was the fact of, if a client is receiving long-term care, and I'm going to let that be as known as in-home care, having caregivers come in, an assisted living, whether it's an adult foster home, because we have those here in this county, or a nursing facility, if after the money is diverted to the spouse or if it's an individual, they may have a pay-in, a liability for their care. In the facilities, the assisted living and the adult foster homes, the minimum will always be room and board, which is $570. Then there anything above that, we look at it a couple different ways. Actually, 733, anything above 733. We like to give them a little spending money, and that's $163 by state and federal, I do believe, on that one. So when we have a person with, you know, say $2,000 income, we would take and subtract out all of the medical that he's having to pay. That'd be his Medicare premium, his supplement, any medical bills he has, and if we had to divert any to the spouse, and then the five, we'd subtract the 733, and that would be his liability piece, or
okay,
her liability. And so that would get added in a facility to that 570. And that's what it would cost them. And the state would pay the remaining balance of whatever the facility's allowed to charge.
Okay. Well, we are getting toward the end of the show, and I wanted to give you both the opportunity to mention any contact information, because it seems clear that this is a complicated enough topic that if you are thinking that this might be something you would want to take advantage of, that you might qualify for, the best thing for you to do would be to give a call, set up an appointment, and really let people help you through the process. Because some of these things are, all of the kinds of government programs, you do probably need somebody to help you through them. We talk a lot about letting someone sit down and help you through all the twists and turns of how it all works, so that what happens for you as the consumer is that you get the best deal out of the situation as possible. So, Michelle, what's the best way to contact you?
So at the Warrenton office, the phone number is 503-861-4200. And that office is located up by near Costco on Chokeberry Avenue. It's actually next to the dog shelter, the animal shelter. Also, we have a website, www.nwsds.org. And then I brought some information for Doug's.
Okay, great. But just to clarify for people, you are Northwest Senior and Disability
yes.
Services. You're Oregon. So now Doug Schaefer, who's usually here for the show this week, he's Olympic Area Agency on Aging. So what about
yeah,
him?
So he's got the Washington side of the river. And so he has a website there, too. It's www.o3a.org. And the Long Beach number is 888-571-6558. And the Raymond office number is 888-571-6577.
And
6557.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Can you just say that again, that last
sure.
number again?
So Raymond is 888-571-6557.
Okay. And then so they would they do anything at Northwest Senior and Disability Services, anything in particular to reach Lynn, or would they just go directly to the agency and say what they need and be directed to people? Or
yeah, they'll call that one number. They okay. may give them another number to direct them to a screening person. But
okay.
I like to give them our local number so they know that we are in Warrenton and we really want to help them locally. So we will help them through the steps.
Okay. And if you are driving, or if you're not in a position to write any of these numbers down, just remember, if you're in Oregon, Northwest Senior and Disability Services, you can Google it. You can also Google the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington, and just give them a call and let these folks help you. They're very knowledgeable, and their job is to help you sort your way through these options, and there are many options out there. You've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been here in the studio today with Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Lynn Perkins, who's also with that same agency. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. We'll see you next month.